The topic we will be discussing today is a mitzvah of this week's parsha, Parsha's Ki Tetze. And I think this mitzvah is not only fascinating, interesting, but also extremely important. And it is one of the mitzvahs about which we might say, Divrei Torah Tzichim Chizuk. This week's parsha, Lo Yisashek, Socher Oni Ve'evyon Mi'achecho, Oy Megechu Asher Bi'artzecho Bishorecho, Ve'yoyim Oy Titen Zechoroi, Ve'loy Tovei Olav HaShemesh, Ki Oni Hu. This is a mitzvah to say, and a mitzvah Lo Ta'aseh, to pay any worker on the day the job was done. We find this mitzvah once again, Chumash Vayikra, on Parshas Kedoshim. Lo Yisashek Esreachu Velo Tigzol Lo Tolin Pu'ula Socher Itchu Ad Boiker. So why does Parshas Kedoshim say Ad Boiker, while in this week's Parsha, Velo Tovei Olav HaShemesh, meaning that it depends on the night, on Shkiyah Secham or Tzei Sekechov. Bava Mitzvah Kuf Yud Aleph, the Gemara explains, the posting of Parshas Kedoshim deals with the Shkiyah Yom. Shkiyah Yom finishes his job at the end of the day. He works at Seisa Kechovim. The Balabayis, the employer, has all the night to put together the money to pay him. And therefore, the posik in Parshas Kedoshim says, Ad Boker. The mitzvah in this week's Parsha deals with the Shkiyah Laila. He works all night, Ad Eloyseh Shachar. And therefore, the employer, the Balabayis, has the day to arrange the funds. And therefore, his mitzvah is V'leisove Olav HaShemesh. So in these two sources, besides the mitzvah Sase and the mitzvah Lo Ta'ase, the Torah says, Lo Ta'ashok Socher Oni, Lo Ta'ashok Et Reachu, V'lo Tigzol, Lo Tolin Pu'ula Socher. All in all, we find five lavin and a mitzvah Sase. The mitzvah Sase is B'yoy Mektitin Sechoroi, and the lavin are Lo Ta'ashok Socher Oni, Lo Ta'ashok Et Reachu, V'lo Tigzol. And therefore, the Gemara says above it here, Kuf Yud Aleph Omed Aleph, Korokoi V'shchar Socher, Oive V'chamish Roshen Et Zalolu. Five lavin and a mitzvah Sasei. Rashi on the spot explains that it is impossible at once to violate all these five lavin, because either he's a Shkiyah, and in that case the lav is Leitolan Pu'ula Socher Ad Boiker, or he's a Shkiyah Lailo, and in that case the relevant lav would be Leitovei Olav HaShemesh. So Rashi's pshat, Rashi's interpretation is that in the general concept of Koivis Chasocha, there are five lavim, but never does a person violate or transgress all the five at once. Magid Mishnah, Beresh Perek Yud Aleph Melachas Chilas, is Medayik from Pashtus Roshon Rambam, that the Rambam's opinion is no. The interpretation of the Gemara should be Kolshoin Chazal. Kol HaKoivis Chasochio Oivo Bechamishu Shemois Halal. And even the one posik relates to a Shkiyah Yom and the other relates to a Shkiyah Laila, Bozeh Velimed Alzeh, and every Koivis Chasochio is Oivo Bechamishu Lavim and the Mitzvah Sasei. However, the case of Mishnah is a very valid and convincing argument based on the Loshon of the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah says, the Rambam divides these halachos in two different seifim, two different halachos, halach aleph and halach beis, perek yud aleph melachos chiyus. Halach aleph, the Rambam writes, mitzvah sasei litin tzchar socher bismanoi, shenema biyoyim yititin tzchoroi, ve'im icharo la'achar zmano oive belo ta'ase shenemar, veloi sovoi. All of HaShemesh. That is Aloha Aleph. And then Aloha Beis, the Rambam writes, Kol HaKoivis Chal Sochio Over all the above mentioned Lavin. Aloha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Im Icher Achar Zmano, if he didn't pay up on time, but rather after nightfall, after dawn or after dusk, is over Balotas. So the case of Mishnah argues, and that is also agreed upon in the Sma, Choshem Mishpot Shin Lametet Siv Kot Malas. Koivish Fasoche is only if a person decides he is not paying, or he postpones paying because Letzayer Eschaveiroi. He does it intentionally to cause suffering to the employee, to his worker. Only in those two different situations would it be defined as Koivish Fasoche. And it is only then that that is defined as Oshik, and he's over al Moisashik and Motikzo. But if a person just didn't pay on time, not of any sinister intentions, but he just doesn't understand the importance to be mekayim this mitzvah. He didn't get around to do it, he doesn't have the money, or any similar reason. He is over Be'esavarotas, but that is not defined as Oshik, and therefore, in that case, he wouldn't be over on Chamishu Lav. When we come to deal with this sugya, before we get into details, I usually speak about the essence of a mitzvah and its most basic definition. Are we dealing with a din of mominess or a din be'isuri? Well, it definitely is a mitzvah sheben odom l'chaveiro and not a mitzvah sheben odom l'mokoy, but even the mitzvah sheben odom l'chaveiro are defined in two different ways. Some are monetary mitzvahs, like in Nezek, Zeile, Mazik, Beinua. There are many mitzvahs sheben odom l'chaveiro that are isurim, but not necessarily dealing with monetary issues, obligations, or precepts. The most valid example would be loitoinu. Twice do we find the isur of Einoah, and Chazal say, echad Einoah is momoin, the echad Einoah is dvorim. Being unfair in mekech u'memka, transactions, as they know as mamoy. But the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch define kol hama'anas chaveira b'dvorim, kol ha'metzayas chaveira b'dvorim, as over on loitoinu, that as they know as dvorim, has nothing to do with money. But nevertheless, it's a love. An aveira sheben odom l'chaveira. How do we define the yesev aloises of b'yoymoy titen zechori? In those instances, when he is a koivish chara socha, and he's over on loisashik and loisigzo, it definitely has to do with mamoy. But when a person merely didn't pay on the same day, is that in a way associated with the Geneva and Gzela, and it's a Avera Mamonit, a monetary transgression, or is it merely you're not fair, you cause discomfort or suffering to your worker? So it is an Esavaloises, but is Isurim and not Mamon. Obviously, this is a machlokes and a shoinim. Because on Bava Tzidkuf Yud Aleph is a machlokes of Avin Shmuel regarding Socher's choice. Person works by day, but he isn't obligated. He didn't obligate himself to work all day, but rather a job that takes a few hours. When does he have to be paid? By nightfall? The other morning? That's a machlokes of Avin Shmuel. The Rosh writes, Halochik Rav. Why? Because that's a general rule. Hilchas Karav b'Yisura. We're dealing with Yisurim. Some other Rishonim, paskin in accordance to the opinion of Shmuel, and their argument is Hilchas Kishmuel b'Dina. So this is a basic rule. Whenever Rav and Shmuel have differences of opinion, machlokes, if it's Yisurim, Hilchas Karav, if it's Momenus, Hilchas Kishmuel. And in this case, there's a machlokes Rishonim, whether Hilchas Karav because it's Yisurim, or Hilchas Kishmuel because it's Momenus. Very strange that the Ksoy Sechoshin, Shin Lametet Siv Kot Nalef, dealing with a totally different concept, a totally different shayla, with a Tzchiras Karka, there is a mitzvah B'yoy Moitit in Sechoroi, and the Ksoy delves into the general discussion, Tolush V'Lvesov Chibroi, and he differentiates between Isra and Momen, and he takes it for granted, writing that this is a Milsa the Yisura. But obviously that is a machlokes and a shayla. However, the Ksois is right in accordance to halacha, because the Rambam paskens like the Rosh. In this case, Hilchas Karav b'Yisura, so the Rambam does maintain that we're dealing with a suri. The Chofetz Chaim in his magnificent sefer Ahavas Chesed, Chelek Aleph, Perek Tet, I think it's Sif Yud, but what I do recall is Siv HaChesed, Sif Kot Yud Zayin, Chofetz Chaim Paskins. If a worker finished his job, and to our dismay, lo aleinu, he passed away before being paid on that very same day. Is the missus asay an lo tase to pay on that same day still binding? Chofetz Chaim says no. Because isura lo moedes libre. A person could pass on to his hires monetary benefits. But this is not an inyan of mominus. It's just an isur. And therefore, there is no Yerusha v'Yisuri. And the Chofetz Chaim does quote the Rosh, Hilchos Hakara v'Yisuri. Totally ignores other Rishonim that Paskin Hilchos Hakishmor Bedina, but nevertheless, he's right. That's the Psak of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Chofetz Chaim in his discussion also maintains that we're dealing with an Issa. It's not really a monetary issue. But that brings us to a great kasha that the Minchas Chinuch and the Purim Meiras ask on the Rambam. The Rambam in Alocha Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, the same Alocha we mentioned and quoted before, the Rambam says, Ein Loikin Alav Aleph. There is no Malkus. And why not? Because it's Nitan Litashlumi. And one of the basic rules in Dinei Malkiyos, in the Rambam's writings and rulings, is there is no Malkus and a Lava Nitan Litashlumi. Just like Lava Nitan Klasei. And that's why there's no Malkus on a Ganav, on a Gazlan, on a Mazik, by Noah, because you need to compensate the other party, and the compensation is instead of Malkus. That is what the Rambam writes, Pona Meiros, 350 years ago, Chelek Aleph Semachovov and the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Reish Lamed both argue, why would this be considered Nitan L'Tashlumin? The violation, the transgression, you didn't pay till nightfall, till morning, that is not Nitan L'Tashlumin. That could never be rectified. That would be defined as a ma'uvus lo yochal itkon v'chosen lo yochal leimonis. Why would that be considered nitan etashlum? So they reject the Rambam, and the Minchas Chinuch writes, well, the Rambam is right, there's no malchus, but for another reasoning, because it's a rav shem b'mais. So what I used to say in the past is, the Rambam's opinion is that this is a monetary issue. And when you don't pay on time, in a way, that would be considered like Geneva or Gzela. Geneva and Gzela are relevant not only when the intention was to take another person's money forever, in an unlimited time. No. Bava Metzias Halachah, the Gemara says there's an Issa D'Oraisa, even Goisel Amanat Lemeikat or Goisel Amanat Lesholet. If a person steals and his intention is to pay, and pay double pay, pay kafel, or he just wants to aggravate the other party for a short while, it still is an issur d'oraisa of geneva and gzeila. Shoel shelo medas as a gazlan, even though he had no intention of keeping the other person's money, but rather using it for a short while and giving it back. So geneva and gzeila is not only when you take something away and you plan to keep it forever and ever, and when you use another person's money without permission of the Bible, that is a monetary transgression. So maybe the same would apply to Koivis Chayasochim. That money shouldn't be in your pocket. That money should be immediately transferred to your worker, to your employee. And that would be a monetary transgression. And being such a monetary transgression, that is Nitan L'Tashlumin. Now, the Minchas Chinuch and the Purim Meiros argue, but you can't rectify, you can't make good on the fact that you didn't pay on that same day. But the entire concept of Nitan Teshlumin is not rectifying l'mafreya. If you stole, you can never make up for it. After all, the money was in your possession, and the proper owner couldn't use and take advantage of his bialis, of his ownership. And yet, you could never make up for that, and therefore the only thing you could really do is do tshuva. But nevertheless, that is the concept of lavanita klasei and lavanita netashlumi. Compensation is your only obligation, besides doing tshuva before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there is no malchus. So, in the understanding that the Yom HaTit Nisachor Eloh of HaShemesh is a monetary concept, it would be very easy to understand that as Nitam Tashlumin. But in reality, the halacha is that it's Isura velo Mimona, because the halacha is Karav Isura. As the Tzitzchoshin assumes, as the Chaim assumes, and I also think it makes far more sense, because the Gemara says that the Esav Eloi says there's only one time. Liachat Tzitzchak Yechovim, Eloi Seshachar, it's over, it's done. And when you keep hold to that money, you're not doing the right thing. It's an Aveda, but it's no longer Laitovi Olav HaShemesh. It's no longer Laitorin Pura Socharat Boiker. It's no longer Biyomitim Socharat. If we would be dealing with a monetary concept, then I think it would go without saying that the longer you keep the money, the greater your transgression is, and you're over on this Isur every moment. Just like Geneva and Gzeva. And therefore, my feeling is, regardless of the essence of this mitzvah and its basic definition, whether it's Isser or Momen, in any event, it is Nitan Litashluv. And every transgression that demands, in a way, compensation, whether it's been on the Mlamakun, like Shalach the Shalach Hassan, the Shbisa Sorma Vedechem, or been on the Mlachavela, or the different categories and forms of compensation, Lo Dumya, the Lav the Hasima, and there is no Malkus. The basic concept of Lav and Itaklase and Itanat Shloman is learned from this week's Parsha. The Parsha of Malkus is juxtaposed as a Hekesh, Lo Tachsim Shor Vedisha. So because Nita Klasei and Nita Natashluman are not similar to Lord Tassim Shor B'dishai, therefore, they have no Chiyuv Malkus. So our conclusion must be, regardless of what the essence of the Lav is, even if it's a Milta de Isura and not Momenes, it still will be defined as Nita Natashluman. A person that pays a worker before he finished his job, maybe even before he started his job, is he the kind that misses the sale of the Yom HaTit Nisachor? Somewhere I came across a story. I don't recall where. I think it's definitely not Navas Chesed of the Chofetz Chaim, but it is told, I read, that the Chofetz Chaim was makbid to pay maids that worked in his house after they finished the job, because his argument was, Ein Schius Mishtalev instead of Lebesav. So it is not defined as Chaz Sochio, only after the worker finish the job. And if you pay before that, your master the mitzvah to say it's not a transgression. But you don't have schar mitzvah, because that would not be defined as schar socher, and therefore you don't have the mitzvah of the yom etit sechor. Based on this same idea, I saw a halacha quoted in the name of Rav Yashub, if you take a taxi, don't pay the driver before you reach your final destination. Because as long as you don't reach your final destination, still didn't finish his job. And therefore, there is no chiyuv to pay. So you're losing out the mitzvah. Don't pay him before you arrive. The son-in-law of Rabbeinu Harav Eliashiv, my dear friend, Hagon Rav Yitzchak Silverstein Shlita from Bnei Brak, argues that if it's a drive that is not in this city, but rather a lengthier drive from one town to the other, Bein Iruni, as we define it in Israel, and you just can't step out of the car middle of the way and say, I'll pay you what the Moneh says and have a nice day. If you rented him, his services, for $100, $200, 500 shekel, or whatever it is, and if you step out of the car, you need to pay him the entire price, then you are already obligated, and therefore you could pay, and you're mekayem the mitzvah. I basically disagree with both assumptions, and I think that if you pay before he finished the job, it's still defined as schar socher. What is it if not schar socher? Is it a gift, or what is it? And I do not think that the mitzvahs say paying a worker depends on the chiyuv to pay. It is true, I am not obligated to pay as long as he didn't finish the job. But if I do wish to pay, it still is defined as schar pa'ul. What is it, if not schar pa'ul? And sometimes it transpires, we hire a person to do a job, and he asks, lifnei mishuas hadin, could you pay me in advance? You know, I desperately need the money. I want to buy food for Shabbos. So would we be from and say, no, we don't want to forego the mitzvah of Be'er Mitzit and Zahori, and I'm going to get your money till you finish the job. In my opinion, it's a mitzvah with a hiddur, lifnei mishuas hadin, and you're not losing out on anything. This money is defined as schar avoda. And regardless of whether we are already mechuyev to pay or not, that is the mitzvah of paying a worker. So in my opinion, if you pay him before he finishes the job, even if you give payment in advance before he started the job, it's still more mekayem the mitzvah be'er mitzit zechor. And if we want to be chayshish to what is quoted in the name of the Chofetz Chaim or in the name of Rabbi Yashev, then makes no difference whether you need to pay the entire price or not, because the halacha that you need to pay the entire price is primarily based on Dina Degami. However, there are cases in which it is based on Psik. If he already started the job, he deserves to be being paid, and maybe it would be defined as Schar Avoda. But basically, as I said, in my opinion, it is defined as Schar Avoda, Schar Socher, regardless of whether you already are obligated to pay or not. The Bi'alacha, Semen Reishman Beis, right in the beginning of Hilchas Shabbos, writes that if a person has limited funds in his pocket and it's Erev Shabbos, either he pays a worker, let's say a maid that worked to clean up the house for Shabbos, or he buys fish for Anik Shabbos, which of the two mitzvahs has precedence, and he says paying the worker for two different reasons. The mitzvah of Be'er Mitzit and Sechoroi is Menat Torah. Onik Shabbos and Kvoit Shabbos are Medivrei Kabbalah, Posik in Novi Yeshayahu, the Koros of the Shabbos Oinig, Bechibadi Tori. Those are mitzvahs Medivrei Kabbalah, Divrei HaNovi. But Be'er Mitzit and Sechoroi is a biblical precept. It's a mitzvah D'Uraisa, and therefore it has precedence. Another reason this is an Esav Alotas, Onik Shabbos is merely a mitzvah to say, Ve'er mitzvah to say, Tocher Lotas of this. I don't think the Mishneh Berurah actually means the concept of Esav Techaloisis, because there are many other reasons that that rule would not apply in our case. At a different opportunity, I made my opinion very clear that a mitzvah to say is never Teicha, a lav shebein odom l'chaveira, and definitely not a lav of momenes. If a person doesn't have lulav or nesig or matzah, would we say steal? Steal. Take another person's lulav, because asei docha lotas. Now, this rule doesn't apply to bein odom l'chaveir. I think the Mishneh Berurah merely means to say that the mitzvah be'er mitzit and zechora is chamur tfei, and therefore it overrides and has precedence before the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos for two different reasons. Two different reasons why it is chamur tfei. First of all, this is the Uraisa, and that's Medivrei Kabbalah. And secondly, this is an Esav Aloisa. Onik Shabbos is merely a mitzvah to say. And for these two reasons, the mitzvah be'er mitzit and zechora has precedence. Another source in which Be'er Mitzit and Zechori, paying a worker on the same day, stands against another mitzvah we find in the Ari HaKadosh, Lekutei Torah Reb Chaim Vital Parshas Kedoshim, writes, And I'm quoting his lesson because, after all, it's Dari HaKadosh. Be'inyan Tzcha HaSocher Vayomori Nizar LeDvar Guzma. He was Nizar in an exaggerated way. Vayomis Akav LeFa'omim El'espar Al Mincha Ad Sheshilem. O LeFa'omim Ma'akav U'ma'ache Al Mincha Ad Shkiyat Zachamo. Shalo Haya Biyado Ma'ot Mezumanim LePriyas Zachar. Vayom Shalech U'mavakish Mois Mekan U'mekan Ad Shishilem Tzchar Socher V'achar Kach Vayom Espar Al Mincha. Vayomo. And he said, how could I daven? How could I stand and daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'bo mitzvah kedoy lekezu v'lo hakaymeno. Ech? Eso ponai le'espare. So Reb Chaim Vital tells us that the Rei HaKadosh was so makpid and dismissed that sometimes he put off davening mincha till after the shkia. My Rebbe, in Divrei Yatzev, the Klozim of the Rebbe, Simekuf Yud Nor Chaim, deals with this passage in Reb Chaim Vital, but the context which he deals with is Ben Hashmoses, one of his topics which he dealt with a great deal, and he wants to prove that the Rei HaKadosh basically held Shittas of Ben Adam, and therefore he davened after the Shkia. But we're not dealing with the Sugah of Ben Hashmoses today, but rather with the Sugah of Biyom Yitin Tzachor Ela. So let's stress and emphasize the other aspect. It is clear in the formulation of Reb Chaim Vital that this was a Midas Chassidus and not a Chiyav Gomer. The reasoning being that there is no chiyuv to pay a poyel bo biyom only when he demands payment, when he asks to be paid. And in the cases which Reb Chaim Vital is dealing with, the workers that deserved being paid by the Ari did not demand payment, and therefore it was lefnei mishuras hadin, as that he himself expressed, "Eches paral Hashem isboch bo umitzi gedoyla kazu v'lo hakaymeno." So obviously he's not dealing with an aveda, but rather with a performance of a mitzvah. However, we find an additional source which is similar, but a far harsher psak, and that is the tzavah of the Chayyodim. The Chayyodim was one of the major poskim of his generation, and he is renowned primarily because of his two great form, Chayyodim and Or Chaim, and Chochmas Sodom and Nisavet Yerodeh. But he also wrote a little sefer, which is a Kitzur Hilchos Shabbos Zichrut Teres Moshe, and in Zichrut Teres Moshe they printed the Tzavah of the Chayyodim, his will. And in Ot Kof Ches, in paragraph Kof Ches, he writes how a person has to be machmir in Biyom Etin Tzacholei. Afilu kishit yitzterech levatel tveres mincha ba'avur ze'ad she'tasig mo'ez l'salek lo'i, mutav shelo tispalel. Mutav shelo tispalel, it is better not to daven until you really paid the workers. Ki miyachas shetov aval malocha atu mechuyev lesalak loy, vibim lav oyver alav, velo tashok, velo itole. Velo yiyu dvor omer akam b'enechem ki hi chayechem, that is the version of the Chayyodim. So the Chayyodim doesn't merely deal with putting off a mitzvah and waiting till after the shkia, but tevatel tfilas mincha. Why? Because he deals with a case in which the worker demands being paid, and that is a chiyuv gomer. That is a nesev eloi sesa, and it has precedence. It comes before tzvedes mincha. The reasoning being the same as the Mishnah Berurah regarding oinik Shabbos. Tzvedes mincha is derabbanon, the yom oitzit nsechor es diurais, and therefore it overrides the mitzvah of tzvedes mincha entirely. However, one might ask, but it is a gemara mefreshes and also a simple pshak and shulchan aruch. Shina metes choshmish b'tziv yud. It is only if you have money that you have this mitzvah say and mitzvah slotasa. But if you don't have any money presently, you're not over on anything. You're not machuiv. So the Chayyodim and the Ari definitely and explicitly deal with a situation in which he needs to lend money or achieve money or go out and look for money. In that case, there is no chiyuv. So this brings us to a question that Akiva Eger deals with in his Agos and Shulchan Aruch, Shilam Ates and Chesh Mishpat. What do Chazal mean when they say, if you don't have, you're put? You don't have what? So the Loshon of Shulchan Aruch is the main mois biyodai, if he doesn't have money. But the Kivega comments on what if he has Shavakes. He has a house, and the house is full of stuff. So maybe he doesn't have cash. But isn't he required to sell whatever you have, or maybe ask your worker if he wants your sound system? Maybe your table and chairs, maybe the sofa, maybe the recliner, maybe your fridge. You could pay him in many ways. Rabbi Kivega argues, Shuva Kesef Kekesef. You don't have money, but obviously you have a lot of stuff at home, you could pay it. However, the Shita Mekabetes quotes the Ritva, and the Ritva says, the mitzvah applies only if you have money, or you have Schoira, which is Oymed Lemachir. If you have a shop, you have a store, you have a grocery, you have a supermarket, so you could give him anything he needs. But a person is not required to sell his personal belongings to pay a worker obia. So the Ritva does differentiate, well, even if you don't have money, you still need to pay, but only if you have schir, which is oimid lemachir, nothing else. Coming back to the chayodah, so why would he be mevatel mitzvah if he has no money, or he's not a shop owner, he has no schir? Because the chayodah is mechadish, if you could take a loan, you're mechuyif to do so. You don't have to sell your personal belongings. But if it is possible for you to take a loan, you're mechuyif to take a loan and pay the worker. So because this is a tzavua, the chayodah doesn't elaborate. The Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed paskens the same without quoting the chayodah. Obviously, he wasn't aware of the tzavua of the chayodah. I'm sure the Chofetz Chaim remembered by heart the chayodah and the Chofetz Chaim, but the tzavua isn't that well known. But the Chofetz Chaim paskens the same, medate den ashrei on his own, Avos Chesed, Chelek Aleph, Perek Tet, Siv Zayin. And he proves this halacha from Rashi, from Sefer HaChinuch. Obviously, the basic argumentation and reasoning and rationale of the Chayyadim and the Chofetz Chaim is, if a loan is available, that is considered yeshlo. It is customary. People take loans for any other need or endeavor or investment. The mechuyif to take a loan to pay a work you rented him. He should have taken into account that you need to pay him, and therefore he's mechuyif to take a loan to pay the work. We do find a big chiddush in Sefer Chinuch Siman Tov Kuf Pei Ches, and the Sefer Chinuch writes lefi hadoim. That means it's not definitive, doesn't have a source to this psak, but kach mistava. If a person would be losing out chesed merubah by paying his worker bo biyam, he is potter. And this is a situation which happens sometimes in many different situations or many different scenarios. I have the money, but I need to pay a bill or a loan. And if I don't pay today, I will expose myself to penalties. And therefore, I would prefer to pay that other obligation before paying the worker. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, if it's a hefsid merubah, he is potter, which is a chiddush. And obviously, it is also based on the definition of ein loy, which Chazal say, leitulin pu'ula sochir itcho. It is only if yeshlo. This would be defined as a situation of anger. And this brings us to the last interesting question in today's shiur. Rabbi Yosef Engel, I'm a tremendous admirer of Rabbi Yosef Engel. It is because I grew up on Rabbi Yosef Engel. And my father, Sheikh Ali Yonatoy Maruch Matbiyat HaMashiach, he did well. When I was a young boy, I got up with Rabbi Yosef Engel, I went to sleep with him, and my father was constantly teaching us the Chiddushim of Rabbi Yosef Engel. He was the greatest sage in Galicia 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago. And one of his many magnificent forum is Choysen Yosef. Choysen Yosef is Ha'oros Katzoros, short comments. And in Oskuf Tezvov, he deals with an interesting hypothetical situation. We all remember the Gemara of Matzias on the base. The one that has the water is entitled to drink, and he doesn't have to share it with the other person. How about a situation, asks Rabbi Yosef Engel, and I'm making it a bit more colorful. But the two people happen to be a Rebbe and his Gabbai. And the Gabbai works on a daily basis. So the Rebbe has a Kitten Shlomayim, but it's in the afternoon, and the Gabbai deserves being paid. So who gets the bottle of water? Is it the Rebbe because it's his? Maybe the Gabbai because the Rebbe has the Chiyuv of B'yoyim HaTitin Sechor. So this Sefer by nature is the Oros Tzoros. Probably in another Sefer, Rabbi Yosef Engel will write 150 drachim on this topic. That was his style. But in my humble opinion, I don't really understand the question. Is there any situation of Ein Lo, like this scenario, if I give away that cup of water, I perish? That is my lifesaver. And if the halacha is Im Ein Lo, he has no chiyuv, I definitely think this would be considered the Ein Lo. Doesn't have money to pay. Because kol asher lo yitin ba'ad nafshei. And therefore this definitely would be considered an Ein Lo situation. If he doesn't have to sell his belongings, if he doesn't have to pay, if it incurs a hefsid meruba, is there any hefsid meruba greater than losing a person's life? And therefore, in this case, I think it would be considered Ein Lo. The topic we discussed today is the mitzvah b'yoymoy titen tzacharoy. I think that our society, especially the Haredi society, has a lot to work on regarding being fair to workers, especially in Israel. Across the board, yeshivas, other institutions, and generally in the workplace. Obviously, the Haredi world was no Haredi Karl Marx, no Haredi fighters for the rights of workers. And I think it's a shame and it's a stain on our community. When we learn the Ari, the Poiskim, and the Poiskim Choshem Mishpat Shilamet has quoted Zohar, in Zohar it's frightening. That's a Gemara, not only a Zion, but a Zeku, a few dollars. And we have a lot to improve generally in caring for the benefits and the rights of working people. Ein Laharich. I don't like to stress and elaborate on our shortcomings, but we have a lot to improve. I do not know the situation in other countries, America, in Europe, but in Israel, I think we have a lot to improve on in caring for the rights and the benefits of workers in the Haredi sector. Shem Yerachem. Chodesh Shalom. This is the time to do tshuva. I think we need to be a lot better in this sukkah. So this week we read the Parsha Ki Teitzei L'Malchom Alevecho, and it is not only in Sefer Chassidus and Sefer Musa and Sefer Drush that they interpret this pasuk as referring not only to war waged between warriors, between armies, between troops, between peoples and nations, but also to the great Malchom between every individual and his arch enemy, his Yetzer Hara. So it's not only Sifra Chassidus and Sifra Misa. We found this interpretation in the Zohar. זה חודש in this week's parsh. כי תאצל המחום על הווחו דו איהו יצר הרוד אין הצליח הנמתק לקבלי במילן דיורייס. ולקטרוג עולי, פיידם. So this is the greatest war, the greatest battle. Many times I quote the story we find in Chovei Salvod. Chovei Salvod Shai Yehud HaMaisa Peilekei. He tells there was once a great warrior, great officer. Came back home victorious, and they made a big parade. In days of yore, they used to build the arches, the Arch of Victory. We find the magnificent arch in Paris, another one in Berlin. Victorious armies used to build arches to commemorate their great victories. So a great officer, great warrior came home victorious, and a chosid found him, met him, and he said, you think you're coming home from a big battle? No. You're coming home from a minor battle. The big one is still before you, and that is the Mechama with the Yetzer Hara. So why is this a Mechama Gedoyla? I think it's a Mechama Gedoyla because by the very nature of war, in most cases, at the end of the day, at the end of the war, one side is victorious and the other is vanquished. Sometimes it takes days. In our Holy Land, we knew the Six-Day War, which in a miraculous way, Israel was victorious. And in 6 days, totally destroyed 3 armies on our borders. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes months, sometimes it takes years. The Second World War took 6 years. In Vietnam, 20 years. But at the end of the day, Yesh Menatzeach v'Yesh Menutzach. One army is victorious, and the other is vanquished. And Malchemes HaYetzer, you can never know. Never feel complacent. As the Mishnah teaches us, Perek Beis Mishnah Dala de Masechet Tovis, Al Tana Biyat Chochad Yoy Moischo, Yoy Chemin Koyin Godel Shemesh Bekuhun Egedoy Lishmoinim Shono, Bela Bitzof Nasa Tzedek. And that is why this is the great war. The big one. Because it takes a lifetime. And you never know who has the upper hand, who is victorious, who is the victor. Kiddush and Aflamet Chazal teach us Yitzroi Shalod and Mezgaber Olav Bekol Yom V'yile Morei HaKodesh Bohu Azroi Lo Yochol. In this war, in this battle, we need Siyat and Nishmai. It's an asymmetrical war. How could we fight an angel, a demon? The Derech HaTeva, a person can't overcome his Yetzirah. It is only with Siyat HaDishmai. And that is the remez in the Pesach in this week's parsha. Ki seitze l'malcham alalecho onasonai Hashem alokecho v'yodecho. Be aware, you need Siyat HaDishmai. And if you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you really mean it, if you're really out there to fight, then you will win. Habor etayer misayin. And maybe that is an additional reason why in Ashkenaz, every day in Chodesh Elul and Tishrei, we say the Perek Chav Zayin and Tehillim LeDavid Hashem Moedei V'Yishi. Because it is in this Perek that David HaMelech says, Im Tachana Olai Machna Lo Yiro Libi, Im Tokom Alai Balchomo B'Zois Ani Boteach. And the Medrash says, B'Zois Zois HaTayra Odom Ki Yom HaSparayim. And David HaMelech once again is referring not only to his personal battles, but also to the great battle. Melchemes HaYetzer. B'Zois Ani Boteach with Talmud Torah and with Mitzvos HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you and you will be victorious. So how does one wage war with his Yetzer HaRa? In Bracha hey, we find the Gemara says, and you probably are all very familiar with the Gemara, various different means. So obviously, Yom HaMisa is the most powerful method. We learn Torah. Some of us sit in Kotel, learning Torah all day. We recite Kriya Shema more than our basic chiyuv. Because when I tell you the person has to say B'shach V'chov Kumecha, the average good Jew says Kriya Shema four times a day, not two. First time before Pesuka Dezem, every day in the morning, La'olam Yehiyadam. Then Kriya Shema V'Birchus Seyon Shachas. Kriya Shema once again, Be'arvis, Kriya Shema Shalamito. So many of us learn Torah many hours a day. We read Kishp, and we very well remember Yom HaMisa. Looking around, right and left, you remember Yom HaMisa. Where I live in Yerushalayim, you cannot forget, because every 10 minutes there's a car going by with a loudspeaker inviting you to the light. I also know some people that work in the Chevra Kaddish. And what should I say? Not all of them are Lamed Vav Tzaddik. Not all of them seem to be victorious in their own personal nocham. How could that be? Chazal obviously promises, if you learn Torah, you read Kriya Shema, and you will not forget Yom HaMisa. That is what it takes. The explanation is a very, very simple one. In that Gemara and Brochas Hayom Adalas, Omer Reb Levi Baruch Omer, Omer Reb Shimon Melotis. Lo'olam Yargezolim Yetzer Atoim Al Yetzer Aro, Shenem Arig Zul V'Yal Tachtov, Nitzchoy Mutav, Lo Nitzchoy Yask B'Toyra, Shenem Ar Imru B'Lvavchem. If that is not enough, then Yikur Kir Shema, Shenem Ar Al Mishkavchem, Yask Al Yom HaMisa, Vedoimu Sel. It all starts with La'olim Yargas Odom Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Aro. And Rashi is Mefarish. Yasa Imo Milchama. You gotta fight. You gotta be aware that life is a struggle. It's a trial. It's a battle. Your Yetzer is out there to destroy you. And you have to resist. You have to fight. If you don't go out to fight, how do you expect to win? No army was ever victorious without putting up a fight. So the tools in your arsenal, your tanks, your planes, your missiles are Torah, Kriya Shema, Yom HaMisa. It's not enough to have them in your warehouses, in your hangars. You got to use those tools. You got to fight. And without fighting, you can never win. No military was victorious without waging war. So it all starts with La'olim Yargas Odom Yetzer Tov, etc. With a basic awareness that life is a struggle. And you need to fight. Fight your inclinations, fight your taivis, fight your yetzer. And if you honestly, honestly will fight your yetzer, these are the tools. These are the methods. Torah, Kriya Shema, which is Yira, Kapparos of Malchus Shemayim, and Yom HaMisa, which will make you humble and bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us all take advantage of these wondrous days of Chodesh Elul, which is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. We should prepare for the Yom HaMisa. Let's take advantage of these days. Let us all, each and every one of us, wage war with his Yetzer Hara. And Kodesh Baruch Hu promises, you will win. Ki seitzel amchom alavecho, Mayim and with Tefillah. Let us all have a good Chodesh. Take advantage of this beautiful month of Elul. Take advantage of the Shofar we hear every morning, of the Slichas that many of us say every morning, as the custom is in Sephardic communities. Let us all come closer to a Kodesh Boch, and we should all be Zeichet to Ksiva V'Chasim HaTayva, the Sifron Shel Tzadikim Yemut.